In our modern world, people often complain about, well, they generally complain about many things. And doesn't that just opening sentence, in our modern world, make me sound really old? Gosh, am I, well, that's all right. Now that that guy that starts off with, gosh, I miss the good old days, or when I was a kid, things were different. But anyway, as we all know, there never actually was a good old days. There have always been problems and plenty of irritating issues that will make folks complain. And even the subject of today's diatribe, noise, is nothing new. The reading that Bob read from Aldous Huxley was written in 1946. His concern was that radio broadcasts were going to destroy the peace and quiet of our homes. I wonder what he would have thought about television, home computers, the internet, and the constant barrage of information and noise coming out of our cell phones, iPhones, tablets, and other ubiquitous handheld devices that so many of us have with us at all times. I see people all around me on the streets, at work, on public transit, seemingly glued to these things. There are those who would now seem lost without them. We can talk and text and post and tweet 24 hours a day. We can listen to music, play video games, watch movies or TV shows, read the news, or just surf the web all day long from wherever we might be. As you know, or may not know, you might not know me, I like to walk. I enjoy hiking through the city or through nature for hours on end. A lot of people who walk or jog like to wear their phones or other devices with little headphones in their ears so that they can listen to music or stay connected without a break while they are out and about. I prefer to listen to the ambient sounds around me, the wind in the trees, the songs of birds, the chatter of squirrels, and all the rest of the natural sounds that I would miss if I were constantly plugged into some sound-making device. People seem to be so checked out sometimes. They're so intent on their conversations or whatever they're listening to that they lose track of their surroundings and walk right into traffic, or even right into the path of an oncoming train. Of course, everyone is different. While I prefer peace and quiet, others may thrive on constant noise. Like the old rhyme about Jack Sprat, who could eat no fat, and his wife, who could eat no lean, even married couples can disagree on this basic choice of how they like their environment. And I'll just, again, use myself as an example. My wife is a vegan, and I am an omnivore, so we eat different things. She likes it warm at night, and I like it cool, so we have different amounts of blankets on each side of the bed. But we also disagree on what levels of sound and noise we like from time to time in our home. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't always need quiet. When I'm watching an action movie, for example, maybe one with car chases and explosions, well, that kind of movie should be at a certain higher volume. When we are watching such movies together, my wife's constant mantra is, "Does it have to be so loud? Turn it down. You will bother the neighbors." Or, "Are you going deaf?" So it is a constant adjustment of volume until we can find a sound level that we can both live with. Even then, when I can't hear some dialogue, I'll turn it up. And during the next chase scene, she will turn it down. And again, this next bit is maybe just a tiny bit of an exaggeration. So just as a disclaimer, it could make my wife sound slightly inconsiderate, but she's really not. So this really hardly ever happens, and really, honestly, it's completely made up. So So anyway, there are other times, like, for example, right after work, when I am craving quiet. At work, I am constantly barraged by phone calls, customers yelling, bosses commanding, and coworkers complaining. The drive home is a stressful journey through traffic and chaos. And so my preferred state when I get home would be peace and quiet. At least for a while, no phones, no voices, no computer. But when my wife is home, her natural first inclination is to talk. She wants to share the stories of her day, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's just bad timing. At just the time when I am desperate for silence, she cannot not be talking. To be honest, for a little while during these times, I am not the very best listener. But these are some of the things that couples do compromise on and get used to. We've been married for 34 years, so we are used to sometimes wanting the complete opposite of each other and still managing to get along. So there are times for quiet and times for noise. It just seems like the times for quiet are getting more rare and more brief. Even here at church, we have a time in our service where we meditate in silence, usually for 1 minute. Typically, we ring the Tibetan bowl or some other instrument. Like today, we could not find the bowl, so we have a xylophone thing here that we're going to use. And I'm not sure if it's just my imagination, but that 1 minute of silence seems to be getting shorter and shorter. When you're up here and you ring the bowl and the silence starts, it's kind of weird. Time seems to slow down. You start to become slightly uncomfortable as you estimate how long 1 minute is. You start to worry, have I gone on too long? Are people getting bored? Surely it hasn't been a minute yet, maybe just a few more seconds. And then in a panic, you ring the bowl again to end the silence. Sometimes it's only been 20 seconds. When I'm sitting there in the congregation, I like a little longer time of silence. Usually I close my eyes, I listen to the birds outside. Sometimes I can hear the children playing, or on days like today, the pattering of the rain. I can let my mind wander. Today's order of service is a little different. We haven't had our prayer and meditation yet. After I finish yammering on noisily about silence, we will have 5 more readings. After each reading, the reading will ring our musical device, and we will have a minute of silence. This will add up to 5 whole minutes. I hope that no one's head starts to explode. What's the big deal about silence anyway? Some of you might ask. Won't there be plenty of time for silence when we're dead? Who knows? That's a whole theological issue for another service. I tend to think that we will face oblivion when we die, complete and utter blissful non-existence. But nobody knows for sure. Maybe there is a heaven. Maybe it will be full of music. We may see all of history's dead musicians in a grand concert of the afterlife playing on in an eternal concert. All of the greatest poets and prophets may be standing atop mounds and reciting their great words at high volume nonstop. After 1,000 years of music, wisdom, and conversation with the greatest speakers in history of mankind, I wonder at what point I might begin to yell, "Shut up!" A time for words and a time for silence. May it be so.